amen. Make sure that light stays lit there. I don't know if Advent counts if that doesn't happen. It's like baptism. If you don't go all the way under the water, we got to dunk you again. I'm excited to continue our Advent series this morning. Each week this month, we'll light a different candle in representation of the themes that we're celebrating, these four Sundays that lead us into Christmas morning. Advent means arrival, and that's what we're going to be talking about. It's all about this coming, this waiting that we're in. I think it's appropriate for us to start Sunday morning's gatherings after we've been waiting and longing for this time, and just a celebration for us to step into this season as a church family, and I'm super excited about that. So we'll have a four-week Advent series thinking about this light of Christ, the light of the world. As we said before, it feels good just to say good morning. It feels good for me to see you and to worship together. How many of you love Christmas? Like some of you, I mean, we probably all enjoy Christmas, right? Hopefully, if not, there's a difference. It's going to be a tough season for you. You may not like some things about it, maybe reminding some tough stuff, but hopefully no Scrooges are in here this morning. But hopefully you all love Christmas. But some of you like really love Christmas. Some of you are Christmas year round. You know, there's a big debate when you start celebrating Christmas, you know, at what point before, after Thanksgiving for you, it's like maybe it's closer to Halloween or even before when the tree goes up or the music or the lights. Think about the different things. I mean, some people love Christmas music. Some of you play Christmas music year-round. Some of you, you know, you get tired of it. I understand if you hear it a lot, okay? And there's some songs that you're like, your goal every year is to not hear that song during Christmas season. I have a friend, I'm not even going to say the name, because if you're part of that group, I don't want to say the name and ruin this challenge for you, but there are a couple of songs you try to avoid. But a lot of us hopefully enjoy some Christmas music. Or the lights. How many of you enjoy going around and looking at Christmas lights or driving through? You do that with your friends or family. We love taking the kids and going through. We know some of the best neighborhoods where some of those lights are. Or decor. Some of you like are seasonally decorated, like your home every time. Like maybe your parents are like this. Some of you now can decorate your own space, and it's like, we're going to decorate for Valentine's Day, for summer theme. We're going to decorate for Memorial Day. I'm like, how do you even do that? Like some of you just really blow me away. But hopefully all of us in some sense decorate with a little Christmas decor. And so that's an exciting time. Maybe you've done that, you're about to do that in your space. Obviously, we've done that here. I think with Christmas, there's so much to love. As kids, you probably enjoy all those things. You know, they enjoy just the season, the festivities, like the food and the different treats and the lights and just what all this, you know, brings, the decor. Our kids love setting those things up in our house. But of course, they also look forward to the gifts, to the presents. As you get older, you know, that changes. So hopefully some of you are starting to make that shift. It's not just the gift receiving that you're excited about. Of course, maybe the gift giving as well. Hopefully just the entire season, though, is something that just brings this freshness, this excitement that we long for. I think for kids, even sometimes adults, when you are waiting to open those gifts on Christmas Day, that can be one of the hardest parts of the season. It is this waiting. And sometimes it feels like Christmas, the older you get, the faster it goes. And this anticipation, and then it builds, and it's like, and then that day is gone. You don't want to miss that moment. But you can even think back, like now that, like as you sense, that just happens quickly. But you can think back to probably when you were younger, when you knew like there was something that you had on that list. And you're like, maybe you've been waiting, like usually, you know, like November or whatever, you joke, you're like, I need a new toothbrush. And it's like, well, that's going to be part of your Christmas, you know. And so like at some point, everything starts to begin, oh, you got to wait till Christmas. All right, some of you may feel that, but like you think about maybe even a time when you had like this gift on like in your mind. And you're like, it's on the list. I know I've got to wait, but I know I'm going to get it at Christmas. Maybe even like saw something under the tree. And you know, like, I think I know that's like what it is. Some of you are gift shakers. We know, like, you know, okay? When your family all knows who you are if you're a gift shaker. They're like, if we put it under the tree, they're going to go figure out what it is. And so they have to, like, wrap it special or do something because either by the shape or you're going to go figure it out. Or it's like, maybe if I just, like, cut and look and then I, like, to put it back together maybe. And it's like, some of you hopefully are not going to that too much. But sometimes even when you see the shape of a gift, you can kind of tell what it is. One of my favorite Christmas memes is this here. And I love when people have like a bicycle wrapped, and it's like, wow, I hope that's an Xbox. Some of you may feel that way, but there are times when you see like something under the tree and you're like, I've been waiting for that thing. And then it's like, that's definitely what it is. Like there's no other way. There's something else in that box. And then it's devastating when you open it and they're like, they got you. And you're like, oh, that's not what I thought. Maybe if you're praying for a bicycle that it comes and you'll understand. What I want us to think about though with Christmas season is something like what that was like when you thought you knew what was like under the tree, like you just knew it was coming. And remember that anticipation? Do you remember that feeling? Maybe some of you have that now, but certainly as a kid, like, oh, like we're counting down, this day is getting closer, and like you just lean into that. And some of the joy of that moment is waiting. You can just feel this building. And many times in life, you've noticed this. Having to wait for something makes it more fulfilling. And many things, the greatest joys in life, you have to wait for. I mean, think about when you find out you're expecting and you're so excited that you're pregnant and it's like you have to wait all of these months. And in many cases, it works this way. You get engaged and then you're so excited and you have to wait all these months until the wedding day comes. Like those big moments, you know what's coming, but you feel that anticipation. That's what this season is all about. We know this moment is coming. We celebrate the first arrival of Christ, but we're also living in this moment between the first and second arrival of Christ. Like, we're celebrating this moment. We know that it's coming, and we lean into this tension of waiting. And hopefully, as every day gets closer, we just feel the anticipation building. And that's really what Advent is all about. As I mentioned earlier, Advent, the word just means the arrival. So when we talk about Advent, we mean the arrival of Christ. And where we live right now is between the first and second arrival, the first and second coming of Christ. So when we celebrate the Advent season, we're in the Advent, the waiting between the two Advents, the first and second coming. So when we talk about the Advent season, it's a season for the church calendar that we all participate together, even with ancient Israelites and saints throughout history, and the anticipation, this waiting for the promised one. That's what this season is all about. That's why we will light a candle every week and building to that moment where they're like, oh, the day is here. We celebrate the coming of Christ and representing the future coming again. That will happen. The hope of one who's coming is given all throughout Scripture. However, it's not always as clear, sometimes in Scripture to people and even in our world today, of what this Messiah, what this gift will look like. Like, not everyone knows what to expect with this promised one. So one of our goals during this series is to create clarity around this hope we have. I don't know if we'll be able to make it as clear as a bicycle wrapped under a tree, but our goal is to make it clear as like, who are we looking for? What are we looking for? What is the Messiah, the Savior, this one that we've been longing for? We want to see clarity. And so one of the ways that we're going to focus and try to eliminate some confusion and misconception around the Messiah is by focusing this series on Jesus as the light of the world. There are a lot of ways that we can categorize Jesus, and Jesus as the light of the world is going to be our focus during this Advent series, during this season. We want to remember what this anticipation is all about and how in Christ we find the light, and then you'll see we actually also then become the light. So he is the light, and then we become the light of the world. So the title of today's message to begin this series is The Author of Light. We're going to see where this origin story comes from. So we're actually going to start in Genesis, and then we'll work our way during this series through different places in Scripture, understanding Jesus as the light of the world. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll turn to the Word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open our Bibles today, to gather with the saints, and to worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask for energy and strength this morning to receive your Word. Help us to understand you as the light of the world, and now as creator, the author of light. I pray that we would enjoy this season, and we think about Christmas season, Advent, and the arrival, that in all of those things that you have allowed us to enjoy, what would be most preeminent is the joy we find in Christ. Lord, help Jesus be the joy of this season for us. We pray this in his name now. Amen. So I think all of us probably to some degree or another understand the value of light. Some of you maybe have grown up where you were afraid of the dark. Some of you maybe are still afraid of the dark. That's okay. All right. It's a safe space. You can say that here. But we understand like how important light is. So today, not just like physically appreciating light, which is so important if you've ever been somewhere without light, but also spiritually. So I want us to see not just like the reality of the importance of light for our day-to-day life. I want us to see the importance theologically of light. And so I'm going to give you a couple reasons I think that's true. So I want to ask the question, why is light so important? And I don't just mean turning on these lights so that we can see, but theologically, why is light so important? I'm going to give you two reasons. The first is the existence of light points to its author. And so one reason it's important theologically is because light exists, we understand it has to come from somewhere. We have to understand its source. And so to understand its source, we're going to go to Genesis, where it all began. So in Genesis chapter 1, If you haven't already, you can turn there and it'll be on the screen as well. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This is the very beginning of the story that we have of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Beautiful story of creation that if you've been around Christianity or the church much at all, you're probably familiar with the creation account, as we have here in Genesis 1 and 2. So other than the obvious, the fact that like the literal elements of our world are coming to existence, like that's what we have here in this creation account, I also want us to understand the fact that we have a creation account points to the Creator. Now, some of you just assume that, and that makes sense. But if there is an argument for God, the Bible doesn't necessarily make an argument for God because it assumes our belief that God is real. But we have to see, we can make an argument for God because if there is all of these things being created, we're believing it's in the God who is doing the creation. Christmas season can be kind of similar. We're celebrating the author of all things. So we're going to unpack in this series how Jesus is the light of the world. That's only possible because God is the author of light. So we want to understand from the very beginning, the creator of light, the author of light is our God. So by creating light and everything else that we see in the creation account, God has chosen to reveal himself to us. That's one of the purposes of light, is to reveal what's in the room. You've done this before. You walk into a dark. Now, even if you're maybe familiar with the space and like you walk somewhere at night, and some of you are there and some of you will be there. When you have kids and they don't put everything back where you thought it was, and you're in a familiar space, and then you step on a Lego, just for example, could happen to someone, or a chess piece, or something else that maybe might happen in your world, it certainly happens in mine, and you're like, oh, like I had no idea that was there. Because the light's not on, I'm familiar with this. So we understand, like the light reveals what's in front of us, all right? We're understanding here, by God creating light and by God creating all things, one of his purposes is to reveal God saying, I'm here. And so we can assume, we can understand that there is a creator because God's here. One of my favorite places in scripture that points us to that is in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. And so they're not physically speaking like you and I speak, but we understand that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The creation speaks to the existence of God. Now, some of you are sunrise people. There's a time in your life when you stay up for a sunrise, and then there's a time in your life when you go over this hill and you wake up for the sunrise. Okay, and we have both groups here today, but you can appreciate a sunrise. Most of us hopefully enjoy a good sunset. Some of you are beach people or mountain people. When you see creation and you just see the expanse that God has created, it should stir something and it should point us to why there is a creator. This is what we refer to theologically as general revelation. General revelation is God's clear display of his glory and power in the works of creation and providence. Because God has created things, because we understand providence exists and there's someone controlling the world, those things are what we refer to as general revelation. God has chosen to reveal himself. He's chosen to turn the light on and let us know he's here. God didn't have to do that, but he chose out of nothing to create everything. Another place that speaks about this is in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them. So essentially, Paul is saying these people are going to be guilty of their sin. Even though they may not know who God is, they can't say they didn't know there was a God. Because God has shown it to them. He's shown it to us. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. So there may be someone that never hears the name of Jesus. That's why we go. But it doesn't mean they're without excuse, because they can look at creation and they may not know the name of God, but they should know there is a God. Because the world, the creation, speaks to who he is. This is what we call an example, and I know it's the morning for some of you. This is going to be tough, but try to lock in. This is an example. This is a teleological argument for the existence of God. What this is an understanding that there must be a purposeful intelligence that created this world, because the world shows both purpose and intelligence. That's what a teleological argument is. It's an argument from existence. It's an argument from intelligent design. And so one of the best ways I've ever been taught to understand this is, if you're wearing a watch right now, I want you to look at it. All right? Okay, so about six of you. Some of you guys need to get a watch. It might help just in life in general. That's a free tip today, okay? But if you have a watch, it could be more of a traditional watch with a minute and second hand, and you see like all the intricacies, and some of you have like different things there. And obviously, it makes sense even now more so with a smartwatch. All the things your watch can do, like, it's just mind-blowing. All right, when you look at a watch and you understand how it tells time, it doesn't matter if you have the most basic or the most advanced. The necessity of the fact that you have a watch means there is a watchmaker. You can't look at the intelligent design on your wrist and deny that someone made that watch. Someone had to put it together for it to work and to do all the things that a watch does. The world is much more advanced than our watches. And so the argument is, if a watch has to have a watchmaker, the world must have a creator. You can't look at the purpose and the intelligence. You can't look at the intelligent design we see in our world, how creation just works together, and deny that there's a creator. If there's a watchmaker, there's a creator. That is the teleological argument for the existence of God. That is the author of light. So think about it this way. The existence of light should provoke something in us to look for its source. You've done that before. As a dad, this is my duty at the end of the night. If there's a light on in the house, I got to turn it off. One, for safety and protection, and two, for our electricity bill. It is my job to turn off the lights in the house. So sometimes you're like, where is that light coming from? I must find its source. This is the same way. As a boomer, you know, you have those people that it's like, hey, man, I don't know if you realize this, but your flashlight's on in your pocket, all right? And so you got to help them out, man. Your flashlight on your phone. Okay, let me turn that off. When you see a light, you must ask then, where is the source of that light? That should be the same argument for us in creation. So ask yourself this: does creation stir in you a longing for something bigger than yourself? Does the grandeur of the world point you to God? So let's allow the beauty of the Christmas season to do that for our souls, to point us to the one who created it all. Here's a challenge for you this season. Every time you see Christmas lights there in this Christmas season, every time you see these Christmas lights, let it be a reminder to you of the author of light. Every time you see the beautiful display and the decor that you love, I want you to think about the author of light, the one who created light at all, so you can enjoy this season. And I think what's so awesome is that even as we think about the light of the world, we think about God generally revealing himself through creation, the joy that we can, just the common grace. Someone doesn't even have to know who Jesus is to experience the joy and benefits of light and goodness. But God didn't stop there. He didn't leave us wondering who he is. The author of light doesn't stop at the creation of light, because eventually he sends his light, the sun, into the world. And so he sends the light of the world, Jesus, to let us know who he is. And that's the second reason I think light is important, is because the purpose of light is to push out darkness. We're going to see there's another step. So the existence of life points to its author. We understand that he is the author of light. We can enjoy that in all things. And then the purpose that comes with this intelligent design is to push out darkness. We can look again at Genesis 1, just verse 4. It says, God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So that one of the very first steps in God creating order in the midst of chaos is to bring light. Because light pushes out darkness. Just like some of you may not have a nightlight, maybe it's a lamp. It's a more mature version, and it's okay. You maybe just have a lamp in your room, okay? That's totally fine, because what that does is that brings order into the chaos of your space. That's what light does. It pushes out darkness. Where light exists, darkness cannot. It's the way that God works in our life, the same way he brought light and order in the midst of chaos. He provides both physical and spiritual light. That light pushes out darkness in us. All right, so flip to John 1 if you'd like. John 1, 1 through 5. It'll also be on the screen. This is a passage we'll unpack in more detail later in the series. But John 1, when we think about this purpose and where it comes in Jesus, tying us back to creation, but now understanding what Christ has done. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is speaking of Jesus. It says, all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet darkness did not overcome it. So here we see the argument that Jesus is the light of the world. He overcame darkness for us. Just as you reach for your light on your phone or a lamp or whatever you need to pave the way, that's what the same thing. We are reaching for this Christ who is the light of the world. His word is a light to our path. He is the light. He overcame darkness for us. God pushed back against darkness in the world by creating light, and he pushed back against darkness in our souls by sending light. You see the connection. So he pushed back the darkness in creation by creating light that we enjoy this morning. And he pushes back against the darkness in our souls by sending the light, by sending his son into our lives. This is what we call special or specific revelation. General revelation is God revealing himself to everyone in a general way through creation. We don't know who that God is, but we can say there is a God. I don't know who made this watch. Now, in theory, we probably know, like, kind of because of Apple. But we don't know who made this watch. I don't know who made your watch, but you know there is one. So I would need to be introduced to the person who made this watch. God has done the same for us. We don't necessarily know who designed all of this until he tells us, oh, that was me. And he reveals himself in his son. So this is now a specific revelation through his word is one way we see special revelation, and in his son. And then the specific path is he reveals the way of salvation. So he's revealed himself generally to all people through creation and specifically through Jesus, which provides this means for salvation. Paul writes about this in a little different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can look on the screen, verses 3 through 6. Paul's kind of writing an argument to this church. He says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And this is where he gets to the point. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is there are some people who won't believe. The gospel is veiled. It's blurry. They can't understand. They've been blinded by the God of this age, gods of this world, and they don't fully comprehend or understand the good news that we have in Jesus. But for those of us who have come to know Christ and surrendered to Jesus, it's essentially like when God said, let light shine out of darkness, he's saying, now thank you, God, because you've given light into my life and helped me understand my need for a Savior. That is special revelation. So general revelation is not enough for salvation. It's enough to know that there is a God, but special revelation, praise him, is necessary for salvation. But praise God, he sent his son so that we could know him. Not everybody will believe, but for those who do, we can praise God because we have received the light. He's turned the light on in our hearts and in our lives and our souls. That's what we celebrate this season. So why is light so important? Because it changes everything, literally does. In the same way it changes a room, changes life. So the big idea today as we think about this is the light of Christ is our only hope. If light changes everything, and we understand there's only one source of light, then we must look to the light of Christ. But it also gives us the hope that we need this season. Some of you may be longing for hope more than others. We all need hope, we understand, for salvation, but some of you need hope even more specifically in the season you're in. Well, look no further than Christ. I think it's pretty fitting when we think about light this morning. One of the many reasons that we're excited about moving to a morning worship gathering, there are several reasons I think should be pretty obvious, but one of those, seriously, on a practical level, is the light. Do you guys know after time change during the winter, 5 o'clock becomes midnight? I'm not sure if you knew that, but it just kind of happens like that. You walk outside and you're like, not only is it darker earlier, it's like pitch black and I can't see. And you know, kind of logistically, even in this space actually uses a lot of natural light from the windows and a huge skylight in the lobby. And so if you've never been here during the winter season, it gets like super dark. There are no more lights for us to turn on. I don't know if you know how a skylight works. You can't turn on a skylight. It's driven by the sun. okay? And so we're just kind of like, well, it's just kind of setting the mood here. So please don't bump into anything, but it's just a real intimate gathering the Lord has called us to in this space. It's kind of what we feel. But it's pretty awesome. Now, when I drove here, the sun was coming up. And it's like, praise the Lord, the sun is rising. That's the beauty of the morning light. Lamentations chapter 3. I want to make a connection for you, hopefully. It says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. What we should understand is every morning brings new hope. Every day brings new life. And what happens is when that sun comes up is when hope is rising. We have to understand this. The author of light, God has designed life that way. Darkness to come at night and light to come every morning. And that's why you have a bad day, go to sleep, trust God. And I know that's probably easier said than done. I don't have a problem sleeping very often. And that makes me abnormal compared to some of you. For some people in my life, it irritates that 10 seconds, you know, I can just be asleep. All right. For some of you, like I just say, go to sleep, and you're like, that's hard. But it's one of the best ways that you can say, I trust the providence of God, is to go to sleep. Just trust God, go to sleep. And you know what? When you wake up, that sun's going to come up in the morning because the author of light put it there. And every single day when you wake up, when that sun rises, you can write, there is hope because you are the author of light. And you bring new mercies every morning. When that sun comes up, it is a new day, and there is new light and there is new life because God, you are on the throne. Jesus is the light of the world, and that light rises every single morning. So we can celebrate with the author of Lamentations and say, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. So I want to encourage you again during this season to think about the author of light every morning. When you turn a light on in your room, or you use your phone to shine, or you actually come into the light. Sunlight is good for you. Some of you, this is just helpful information. Get yourself into the sunlight. It changes your mood. We were designed to benefit from the sunlight. Like God created, he's the author of light. Like it is mind-blowing, all the connection we see and the importance of light. Every single morning, I want to encourage you to think about the author of light, where it came from. Worship the Lord for the gift of a new day, for the gift of light, for the gift of life. That's our challenge this season. Worship God every time you think about light. Whether it be through Christmas lights or the sunlight, just the light in your room, the light in your house. Because when you've been in a space without power, like you know what it's like. Worship and praise God anytime you think about light. Because that light represents life and hope that can only be found in Christ. So let me ask you this morning. Where do you need the light of the world in your life? Where do you need God to shine his hope, his light in your life? There may be an area of struggle, maybe an area of sin, maybe an area of frustration. There may just be an area in your life where you're lacking hope. Like the job just hasn't worked out. This relationship just hasn't worked out. Or this health situation I'm just not sure about. Where do you need the light of the world to shine in your life? Is there an area of your life that's been dominated by darkness? Let the light in. Bring that area into the light of Christ and say, Lord, let your light shine here. Bring the hope I need here. Even this morning, I want you to think about that and how you could bring that to the Lord. And I want to encourage you not to leave here today without God being able to push out darkness in your life. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, why not do it today? Sounds like a great morning to say, Lord, I want your light to push out the darkness in my life for the first time. I've been living in darkness for too long, and I want to surrender to the light of Christ. Because the only hope you have of darkness leaving your life in the same way, the only hope we have for darkness leaving this world is by the author of light shining and doing what he can. So this is my encouragement. All of us, just surrender our hearts to him this morning. I'm going to pray and just ask that you just do that now. Take a moment to do that before we sing. And just be challenged to think about the light of the world every time we see the lights of this season. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to worship this morning. How encouraging it is, again, to gather with the saints. Lord, to think about the light of Christ and the joy we have in Jesus. Well, during this season, I pray we'd be encouraged to reflect at every sunrise, every day when that light comes up, Help us to think about the author of light and why you created it all. Well, let's think about areas in our heart where we need the light of Christ. We need the hope. Just as you remove darkness in the world, we ask you to remove darkness in our lives. And Lord, if there's one here, even now, who's never been like surrendered to you, who's never said, and this author of light, who's never put their hope and faith and trust in Jesus, what do you do this morning? Right now, just stir in a heart who's maybe unsure and just and saying, it's going to be okay. Let the light in. Or turn the light on right now for someone in their life. Lord, and all of us, help us just to worship you as the author of light. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. I pray that we would love a good morning because we know you're the author of them. You're the author of good mornings. Just worship you now. We reflect on that, Father. And we praise you for allowing us to do that in the morning. How fitting today. We thank you for being the author of light. We look to you, Jesus. Our hope is in you alone. We pray all of that, believing in that name.